Greetings, 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 and salutations. This is a project review with Q and Arrow. And I have one word for my intro today. It's transition. We are transitioning this show. So that word is loud and clear. I don't have any really solid direction on how we're changing it. It is definitely in transition. And I'm kind of joking about, yep, I'm a transition specialist and I am always transitioning. I am really excited today to have a playground with two beautiful women coming in to play with me today. We are going to talk about one of the projects, and who knows what else we're going to talk about. It's going to be a great time. One thing that we like about this platform here is that we're going to continue together creating a new earth in peace. So we are asking you, what is your greatest excitement? What brings you your greatest joy? Instead of getting out of bed and getting dressed to go to work, what do you really want to do? What gets you excited? What's your passion? We are gods and goddesses. We are unlimited. We can do anything and we can be anything. So we are still leaving some email addresses on our show page for you to contact us, to give us your thoughts, your desires, any questions. I would like to introduce my guest today, a lovely lady that's showing up as production manager today, got me on the air. I didn't know it was a time change, or I would have just missed my show today. So I really appreciate this beautiful lady that's flying with me today and keeping the time straight and getting us on the air. And she also has a project that we're going to talk about today because I'm absolutely passionate about co-creating her project. So Sheila, would you like to say hi?
Top of the morning to you. I am here and ready to fly. Thanks.
Awesome. And our guest flying in with us today is my sister Birdie. It's so exciting to get you to come play with us today. Hi, Birdie.
Well, hello. You know, I fly by the seat of my pants anytime anyway, so I can't plan. So it's good to be here with no plan. I'm not good at homework.
I know we had an unfolding of the show page today or this week, just everything and a lot of direction from my brother Q wanted me to get some things straight. So we're going to talk about that too. I'm just excited that we're winging it. That's a good term, isn't it? Winging it.
Love it.
I want to start with Sheila's project. So the one thing that really, really the first thing that really grabbed me when I received an email that was Sheila's project. And the one thing that I really liked about it, just receiving it, it's, you know, on my screen on a computer, but it's like a paper. And when I was in typing class many, 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 many moons ago, we would do business typing papers. And so on your paper, on the very left side at the very top, would be your credentials, like my name, my address, if I had a mailing address, if I had a business name, my phone number, my email. And on her page, the first thing I see up in the left corner is it's big, all capital letters, and it's bold. It just stands out on the whole page, and it says this: we are the technology. We are the knowledge. We are the collaborations. We are the creators. And then she'll spell out her project. But I just love that. That stood out loud and clear. And it's big and bold. And And I just love the ring of that. Sheila, would you like to tell us more about this project?
This project came to me, I believe in was in the middle of the night, and I woke up and I had to write stuff down. I have no idea where this came from within my little realm of the world. So there's something more going on around us. I wanted to create a project called Collaboration Celebration, which is an invitation to everyone to share, collaborate, and create our new way of life. I developed a whole idea of what an event can look like. It might be a week-long event with lots of celebrations and lots of sharing of everybody coming together to determine what collaborators they need to make this project go forward and how we collaborate with businesses coming together with people that can write ad copy or poets coming together with people trying to create healing centers, and they want beautiful words that people can learn from. Since that time, it's kind of come down to maybe we get together in regions, or maybe get more specific than that, and people in their own cities collaborate with people within their community. Maybe in programs that are already existing, but maybe need some life added to them. Maybe in grander ideas, such as how do we get to all of the water districts to get them to stop putting fluoride in, if that's something we really want to do? It's not up to the EPA to change that. It's up to individuals in communities getting the word out, changing people's point of reference. And that's a huge project in and of itself. Other things are, what are all the technologies that are out there? What is being written about in for the people.space with people emerging in technologies that we've never heard of? How can the rest of us get behind that? How can we understand it better so that we can teach it to our kids? It's a project much bigger than me. I just feel like I opened the door to some new space. Let's fill it together. That's my invitation.
I love it. We're celebrating. And I know when back when you first flew in, I was on being inspired by Q with friends, and you flew in and said hi, Arrow. And I know that around that time period, I was talking to other Q show hosts about meeting them in person, and I was really longing to get hugs from all these people. Over these last years, we've all joined in on some of the Q shows, listened to them on Saturdays, and then some of the regular callers started their own shows. And so I only know all these people from the internet, and I just really was longing to travel around or bring them all together in one place or do something where I could actually physically meet these people and give them hugs. And so you just caught my attention when you came in with this, because I was really already kind of going down this path of, I need some hugs. I want to see the glimmer in people's eyes. I want to see the glow coming from their smile. And then ever since that happened, I've actually met a couple people through the internet, and now I feel it's more important than ever. It's more important than ever because when I'm developing a relationship with somebody on the phone, I didn't know that I just subconsciously was getting an impression of them, but to my surprise, they actually didn't fit these unknown subconscious reality that I was creating. I didn't quite realize it. And it was such a different experience just having somebody in front of me, again, looking into their eyes, maybe having a handshake or a hug. And it was so different. So I'm very passionate about this. I know, Sheila, you and I joke about the original vision was bringing a million people together. So that's interesting for me. That's a lot of people. So, and
I know
I go ahead.
when I think of even going to a party, I run away from parties as fast as I can. But when I think about a million people on the same team, I want to run into that also. It just the power of recognizing each other and knowing in an instant that we're together is a thousand times better than just imagining what who I am in this little corner of the world. So a million people, why not?
So, what would you say was the largest number of a crowd that you've ever been in? Like, if you went to a concert or a football stadium to see a football game, or what is the actual number of a crowd you've been in the midst of?
Oh, probably 30,000.
How about you, Birdie? Have you ever been at a stadium or a large crowd with a lot of people?
Yeah, I'm a hockey girl. I used to be. So I've been to even when they did like the Winter Classics outside, there's probably over 75,000 people. Normal, it's 30, 20, but when you do them in the stadium, yeah, it's about 70,000 people.
So I was a my profession that I retired was a union stagehand, and so I've been in some arenas and football stadiums, but I think the largest crowd I was in twice I had been to music events, and the second Woodstock was in New York, and the ticket sales was up to like 250,000. But on the second day, the mob outside the gate busted the fence down, and they estimated our crowd at like 350,000. And then another time I was at a music event in Texas at a racing, it was a race track, but they put on a musical concert, and I think that was also 300 and some thousand. And so I'm like a million. Like, I just even am trying to imagine, but I am asking Sheila to hold that vision. Let's hold that one and work towards it. I love it. So then, just to get down to today, though, we did talk about, you mentioned, how do we get started at this? And so I tried to think, what do I do to get started? And I thought, because cost-wise, like, I was a stagehand in Kansas City, and they did a lot of convention work. They did a lot of this kind of stuff where, I mean, I could picture when I read through your project here, I could picture the conventions that I had set up for other people, and having these 10 by 10 booths, and they're rode off with drape, and then you have a table, and there's always these ink pens on the table because people come up to the person at the booth and then get the information. The person in the booth is providing the information, and people who are interested are coming to the booth. But I know those convention centers are really expensive, and so just to get this thing started and just to find each other, because even a convention hall like that, it's going to take some people, it's going to take some projects to come forward. And we're not seeing the there I think we're just so scattered all over the world that we're not just local. I think it's up to us to bring this local. And so the place where I spend the summers, the one thing I realized is there's a public library, and I discovered that I could actually get a room with, and it's no charge. If it's a public event and I advertise it to the public, they offer the room at no charge. And so the only cost I might have in maybe just throwing it out to the city I'm in, and it's not that big of a city. Still, it's growing in numbers. It's kind, I don't, I'm trying to think of the numbers. I'm not sure how, I'm not, oh, the population, I'm not sure. But I know, I might have some costs to advertise locally. I'm probably, you probably get on some kind of computer chat, maybe some flyers. I know I'm always at the coffee house reading the bulletin board in those types of places. Just because that might be where I'm sitting for a while, and so I'd be in front of a bulletin board. What's other ways that we would maybe if just something small like that, something that because I'm thinking low cost just to bring people together. Because I thought even if five people show up, that's five more people in my community that are interested in similar things. And I'd be excited to find five more of me.
Yes, that's a challenge for me. I just retired. I got out of the workforce. I'm in a small town. I don't know anybody. We just moved here. And I like it that
Right.
way. So to go somewhere and actively look for people, that is a challenge for me. But if I knew it was happening, I knew other people could do this, I could open up a little bit. I can open one door. I'm semi-involved in a couple of other groups. Maybe I can open up a conversation with somebody I know, and maybe that conversation will go farther. Maybe I could write an article for the journal that we get.
Does your town
And
have like a farmer's market in the summer?
it does. I've not been there yet, but there's every reason to go, to just to get to know people.
Over the last few winters, I've been putting a booth out at a farmer's market, and my first vision of my booth was it was during COVID, and I was listening to Ted Marr on Out of This World Radio, and he was blowing whistles all over the place about COVID scams. And I just was really passionate about going public with information. And my first vision was just to put a 10 by 10 booth out with a bunch of papers with information that people can just take for free. And as I practiced doing this a few winters in a row, I have a passion for crystals. And at the time I had mined Arkansas and had hundreds of crystals, and I thought, all these little crystals I have, what a great thing to do with them. Just I'll start giving them away. And I had a fluorescent sign with big black bold letters that said free crystals. So I drew people. The problem is there's cost in that, right? There's cost in all the printing. And then to my surprise, nobody wants papers anymore. People would take photos. They pull out their phone and take a photo of my paper, and that was great because that's less trees. I'm just old school. I'm all paper, and I love the idea that we're going to cut down less trees. I'm not the device person though, so there's kind of half of this and half of that. But it was. And then the cost of doing that. So I love making jewelry. So I started selling jewelry. And then I was in an area that had a lot of rocks came from all over the world to the area I was at. And so I bought a huge amount of purple amethyst rocks because my booth was purple and it was so beautiful. And I couldn't, my back screamed at me. My back said, "You're too. You have no business being in the rock business." And so I liquidated most of my inventory of rocks. But it was really fun that it's a lot of local people. And there are artisans at some of these local produce places. A lot of them do the farm and art markets. And that was one thing I thought I could do. It's not that costly to have a little booth at the farmer's market. And I thought that would just be a good advertising place. Maybe I could even somehow have some questionnaires or see if anybody is interested in meeting on a weekly, a biweekly, maybe a monthly platform or something like that. I know, Bertie, you have a studio. Is that anything where you think you would bring people to, or maybe you have a local farmers market or some idea that we're not thinking of?
I mean, I do. I have a lot. I have space. I have a couple. I have a couple businesses, and I have a lot. I do have space that, when you mention people, bringing even just us together, like I would be willing to invite you guys and any of the other listeners. I'm open to it because I would host, and I obviously wouldn't charge anything. We could use my space to even just get the energy together. I'm okay with that.
Well,
It's just a matter of travel. I mean, I'm on the East Coast, and I don't know if we coordinate it with a big event that's going on around here that we could all go to. But if it's a matter of getting together to collaborate, yeah, I do have space.
I've already warned you once the weather's nice, I'm going to find my way there and get a
What? Hey, I'm waiting. I'm here all the time. I
hug.
got you know I it's different spaces. Like I have my business office, and then if I get irritated, I have paint all over my desk right now. I think I just got it on my rug, and I'm like, I have a whole studio next door, but I decided I was painting while I'm doing this show because it brings me so much peace. But yeah, I mean, there is something to be said. We all know each other from the internet, but it's going to a different level, and getting together and being in person, there's nothing like that. So yeah, I mean, who's interested? I know we got some East Coasters over here that would be easy for me to get together with. I would love to do that, and hopefully there's some plans coming up with that. But yeah, I mean, let's go. What let's go, right?
Do you know what, like, when you guys go out in public, do you ever meet anybody that's ever heard of Q before?
Yes. It's so funny enough. In this, I'm in a pretty big building, so there's other businesses and things in here. And the one there's been a couple of occurrences lately, and it's unusual, but it's starting to sort of uptick. So it happened twice within the last, I don't know, 2, 3 weeks. And I was looking out. We all park in a certain direction, like the front of our cars are facing where I look out my one window, and there's this one car that's backwards from everyone else, and it's a black like sedan or SUV, and there's a giant Q on the back of it, and I just started laughing. I was like, well, that's odd. Never saw it again. Never saw it before, and the way it was facing, and I just laughed, and I'm like, all right, well, there we go. And then we have in another neighboring town, there's like sort of like a, we have a lot of history around here. So, this building is like 250 years old, and they turned it into this big, almost like a food court. So when you go out with your friends, if someone wants Greek and someone wants Mexican and someone wants pizza, you can all eat together, and but everybody can get whatever they want. So we were there. And there was this big, sort of obnoxious truck like in the parking lot, and it had Q stuff all over it, which was so unusual. And I'm with my family, so of course, I just start snickering, like, oh my gosh, here we go. It's starting to get blatant. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Nice. Sheila, do you in ever physically run into anybody that has ever heard of Q?
I have one friend who helped me sort through some of the stuff when I was trying to get up to speed on things in 2021. But he followed the Q drops, and any mention of other types of other aspects of Q he doesn't seem interested in. And then there was the woman that introduced me to BBS Radio Q shows. And I've since lost touch with her. But yeah, there have been two people I have actively talked to about Q, and others just don't. Since it's an enigma, since there's no physical person that we can point to on the news, everybody has their own judgment of who, what, how the Q frequency is. And I can't explain it because I'm learning every day too.
I went for quite a while, and if I ever mentioned Q, for a while, all I got was, oh, you're a QAnon. And like for some reason, they had this impression of what that meant. And I immediately, without even realizing what all these people thought of QAnons, I just kind of said, no, I'm not a QAnon. But I listened to a guy without a name. And when the first interviewer I heard interviewing him asked him, well, he said, well, we have to call you something. And he said, call me Q. So we've been calling him Q. And then I had a girlfriend it's just always the coolest thing how I met her. I wanted to eat organic food, but for the longest time, I kept saying, I can't afford it, can't afford it. I'd look in the grocery stores, it was always twice as much. And finally, one day, I made a firm commitment that this is stuff that I'm putting in my body, and it should be an investment of mine. And how better to spend my own personal money than on how I'm investing into what I'm putting into my body? And I at least made the commitment to do produce. My fresh produce is going to be organic. And I went to the little tiny, it was so tiny. It's now grown and doubled in size since I started going to this little organic store. And I was standing in line, and she was standing in line, and we got to talking, and I said something about, yeah, I'm belong to the Thrive Movement with Foster and Kimberly Gamble. And it was about the entire 700 billion people on the planet thriving, and that the planet had all the resources for that many people to thrive. We just need to quit polluting it, and we need to work with the natural resources of the planet. And she was just like, oh, I have to know you. Here's my phone number. And we exchanged phone numbers. And the really weird thing was, we both actually were members of another organization that we had just never ran into each other at. So we actually had another connection. And then when I started listening to this Q be interviewed, she was listening to those Q, she was reading the Q drops that you mentioned. And I had never seen those. I wasn't on the platforms. And so I kept talking about this guy Q, and she'd listen for a little while, and then she'd just interrupt me abruptly and go, Q is not a person. Q is a military operation. And I'd just be like, I know it's a military operation. I think maybe this guy is a part of that. I don't know. He just doesn't have a name, and we don't have anything else to call him. So I'm calling this guy Q. And we go round and round like that for about a year. And finally, about a year, year and a half into her always interrupting me that it's not a man, I said, look, this is the link. And then she went and listened. But she also, she, it just, she didn't connect. She didn't, it, I don't know. I think she sometimes throughout the years now, she's talked about randomly listening. I know she had listened to some shows because she said she heard me as a caller. So I knew she had listened to some, but she's not as, I was diehard. I was every single Saturday. I used to listen on the archives because I always worked on Saturday. And when he started the project show, I wanted to participate and I just never took a job if I had to work on Saturdays after that. I was fully committed all in. So any other how about Bertie, do you have any questions for Sheila and the project on the table?
Questions. I mean, I get the whole concept, and it's a matter of what's the interest? Like you said, anytime I mentioned anything to people, they just go right to that. That's a conspiracy, blah, 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 all that kind of nonsense. So after, for me, I don't know where people are at. I don't know. Like, we're talking about, like, I'm reading the project and it says, I mean, the concept's awesome, but like you said, is there an email address out there that people could send in to see if they're even interested in what we're talking about, or if they're interested in getting together? All right, does that make sense? Like, find out what
Somehow,
the interest is.
I think to get it going locally, it'll take somebody with a passion who wants to meet other people locally, which is, I mean, so which is where I'm at. I'm like, this is a great idea now. And I have a hard time imagining a million, but I'm not letting go of the vision of that. And where do I start if I start with five people? And so I've really been just really asking myself, how do I collaborate myself? What's my part in this? And I that's those are the things I've come up with is maybe a booth at the farmers market, and that doesn't cost me very much. And I could get a room at the library, but then the advertising would be kind, that would be my challenge since I'm not really great at the internet stuff, because I think that's how I would read. Don't you think that in today's stage that to reach out to my local community, don't you think I'd have to find some internet chat, local chat lines to do that?
Well, you know what? There is a platform called Eventbrite that could be something to look into. I learned that from another sister. So there's things like that where you may, I don't know if you have to pay, what is it, $25? I don't think it's a whole heck of a lot, but there's things like that, like under event, like going under something like that, and then people, then you'll know you put a certain amount of slots open. And so there's things like that that we can look into. But like as far as the projects go, I think I had three going. And I think for me, part of it was when I did the three-page submission, just putting that energy and the excitement into it. I've learned things about me. I'm really good at starting businesses. I'm really good at getting things up and running. And then I'm like, all right, next. Like I'm not a stayer, like except for the business I have for 30 years, but that's like my staple. But I love to create. So I did through this whole process, I did projects and I've handed them off to other people because I was very excited. I mean, the art's my passion. I mean, but I don't want to monetize it. Like I know that. That's not a way for me. I give it all away. If someone likes a painting, I'm like, oh, here, you can have it. Like, and I get some crap for that because like you need to charge. Well, no, I don't. I really don't need to charge because this is what I love to do. And if I start to monetize that and try and I don't want to make a living from it because then I would have to set a price to something that came from my heart. And that's for me impossible. I don't want to do that. But like we talked about one of the projects I started with the homeless, and it's one of the ones I was involved in, and there were other people, so I don't want to like take full credit or anything, but I put a lot into that and I loved it. And then after a couple years, there was somebody else that it was their life and they want, I'm like, here you go. Like so that's what I'm really good at helping things get started. But yeah, I'm not a stayer with that kind of stuff. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, but it's awesome because all the parts are played. I mean, I've seen a video of that, the homeless project that you had, and was the whole the so the video that I watched or about this project you're talking about with the homeless, was it the initial idea, your whole thing, and then you had collaborators come, or did you start collaborating with somebody in the beginning?
Yeah, I actually start it was through someone that I grew up with, and I used to be on social media, but I'm not. So that part of it is, he was talking about it, and I'm like, ooh, I want in, kind of thing, like, because I was already doing something similar on a smaller scale, but I'm like, if we start working together, and then it just kept snowballing. It just turned out to like, it went into something to what the video that you saw. So that's not how it started. It was just like he, grab a bag of clothes and bring them downtown. And it started that way. And then it started morphing into like an entire closet of blankets and, everything you can imagine. And then other people started getting involved, and it was all volunteers. So it became really beautiful. And it morphed into something. We started getting donations from all types of different businesses in the city, and library was giving books, and it just people really jumped on board. So really, it was the synergy of every like we're talking about now. It was a collaboration. It was, you had people. Okay, well, I'm gonna bring. They wanted. We started to see the need. Okay, they need a haircut. All right, let's bring barbers in on Tuesdays. We would help with taxes. If somebody was having issues and they couldn't get a job, they couldn't get a place because they had all this stuff. I had somebody that I called my tax guy. I was like, hey, can we help? And I'll pay for it, whatever. And he's like, no, I'll do it for free. And it kind of motivated other people. So those are the types of things. So, and now it's a well-oiled machine. So by the time you saw that video, that was more of like a fundraising thing to get grant money, because it was well established at that point, that it was already up and running. So yeah, I just think
And
it took a life of its own when you get the right people with the right passion.
you didn't mention food. You also, there's some meals that are also provided in that platform,
Oh
right?
yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Food was the number one before even the clothing started. It was food. And then we, the video, there's a couple different versions. I paid like a student down in downtown to do the video, just to give him some money. But I also wanted to do a couple different fundraiser ones where they could solicit, that the charity could solicit money or resources. Like we wanted tables, like dining tables, because we're giving you a meal and you're sitting on a fold-out chair with this meal on your lap. We wanted them to have a table to sit at. So we did a fundraiser and got a local business to just buy all the tables. Like it was cool. A lot of really good, beautiful people jumped in, and it was just, I met some of the coolest people from all over, all ages, all backgrounds, and there's no judgment. Everybody. We just, there was some, I put myself in some really precarious positions. It's a city, and it's city, and so here I am, like bebopping downtown with my whole car full of stuff, sourcing from the suburbs, and I'm like, oh, there's a little something going on right there. But I was never afraid because I knew I was doing something from my heart, and I just maybe got a tiny bit scared a little bit a couple times when there was like some stuff going on, but for the most part it was so beautiful that there was no fear, there was no, I was like, I'm going. I mean, I had to stop telling people in my family where, because they'd be like all worried, oh, you're going down there, it's going to be dark. And so yeah, it all just worked out because it was meant to work out.
Birdie,
And I
that is just beautiful. And I think something like that tells us that starting small, getting out, doing something, we're going to meet source in ways that we can't imagine. And it will start coming together. And it might snowball so fast that we don't know what hit us. And we'll be skiing down the mountain sideways, just because it's going so fast.
yes. Exactly. I mean, and that's what I was saying. It started out so small. It was like we wanted, and I knew them all by name. I knew what size shoes they were. I mean, it's hard to get like a size 15. And so I would go out with a clipboard and I would go talk to them. I knew their names and I would say, "All right, what's your favorite color? What do you need? I really need a hoodie. All right, let me go back and see what we have." And it was really tough because they would tell you what they need, like even if it was a pair of socks, and I would go to the sock bin and it was empty. I'm like, "Oh, crap." So I, of course, one time I think I went to Target or Walmart, I don't know which one. I think I spent $1,100 because there was no socks, there was no underwear, there were like all of those things. Who once used that? So I would go crazy. I would be like that crazy person with two carts filled with all like hundreds of the same thing. I loved it. It was so exciting. And it wasn't like I'm just donating money because that's easy. It's doing the work and bringing it down, but it's people, there was more me's there. So it's like we all inspired each other. And I mean, my nickname was Santa Claus, which now I don't let, but that was like, they're like, "Oh my gosh." 'Cause I would just kind of look at the list and it was exciting. I would go to the food, clothing pantries around in the suburbs where people just donate crazy stuff, and I knew what we needed because I knew the people, I knew what they wanted. I was like, "All right, Lawrence needs a blue hoodie. Let me go see if I can dig one out." It might, whatever it says on it, it doesn't matter what it says on it. He want it was a blue hoodie. So I think we all feed off of each other's positive energy.
That was one of the things that really stood out when you were sharing this project with me, is that you knew the names of the people, and somebody came and said, "Hey, I need a hoodie." They didn't say I needed a blue hoodie. They said I need a hoodie, and you said, "What color do you like?" You were personal with them. And then if you had gotten the blue hoodie, but Lawrence wasn't there, you left it there with his name on it and put your name on it. So to make that personal connection, to make that known to the person that somebody was thinking of them, and that was really impressive to me. That 'cause it's about us connecting. It's about us finding each other. It's about one heart working with another heart. That's how we're building this new earth.
Aw, well, thank you. It's thank you. I'm not good at that. I'm like, yep, thanks. That's cool.
You're awesome at starting with these great ideas, because it's like you said, you started it and now somebody else is, but it's up and running and it's in full-fledged going, and somebody else was in passionate and inspired to keep it going.
Right,
So it's
right.
not like we don't have to show up and play all the parts. And that's what's really nice about this collaboration concept, is that you just get passionate. And when we get passionate in our hearts, that's what we're learning to do here. We're learning to go from these brains that we're trained to have an idea in the mind and then think and figure out how to get it all to go and come up with thesis and come up with plans. And instead, what we're learning is to get out of all that mind energy and come down to our hearts. What is our greatest excitement? What brings your greatest joy? Instead of getting out of bed to get dressed to go to work, what do you really want to do? What gets you excited? What's your passion? We are gods and goddesses. We are unlimited. We can do anything and we can be anything. And that's what we're trying to do on this platform, on this show, is just to help people make that transition and really get into our hearts and find what lights our fire. And then when we do, that's when Source steps in and plays with us. That's when Source brings the people to us. I'm curious, didn't you take this project when it was kind of in the idea stage and actually submit it to the original PRQ team?
Yeah, I think it was one of mine, but it was like, I think I pulled it back because it was already done. Like, what am I sending it in for? I already did it.
Oh, you
It
were
was
already
like,
in
I
the
didn't ever
middle of it.
expect it. Yeah, I didn't expect it like funding or it was more about, I mean, I remember calling in, you just said, "What do you want? What is your desire?" And that's part of our connection, Arrow, is all I ever know is I want to help people. That's like that. And I remember calling in and Q would say, well, what is it that you want? I want to help people. He's like, all right, well, how? I'm like, any way. And he says, oh, you want to help build a house? And of course I was like, yeah, why not? Well, no, I really don't feel like building a house. But whatever I mean, it's my absolute passion is to help people and in any way. But I also have gone rogue and done weird, like I have to be careful to not overstep. I have a tendency, like if I see somebody in need, I feel like I have to help. Well, I have to learn also that it's not always my place. So I've had some hard lessons where it's always from a pure heart, but it's not received as intended all the time. So it's learning how to navigate my really like need to really help people, if that makes any sense.
It makes great sense to me. The thing that I thought of long ago, I was working with a spiritual, I called him a spiritual teacher, and he pointed out that he knew these ladies that considered themselves white witches, which were technically called good witches. And but he pointed out to me that the three of these ladies would come together with the best of intentions. They came together to do a healing for someone else, but they didn't have that person's permission. And he said, even though their intentions are to help heal this person, what if that person's choice is to not be healed? Then aren't they crossing a line? And that just
Well,
always stuck with me.
yeah, and it's a hard lesson, and it's like, oh, I missed the mark on that one. You know,
Yeah,
I'm
I
got
always
I've
thought.
gotten a lot better, but I mean, my gosh, sometimes I'm like, you know, imagine like, and then it feels really kind of odd because it's like, man, I just spent like 2 grand or whatever it was, and the person's mad at me, and I'm like,
Right.
what did where did I go wrong, like. And so it's a lot of it learn going within is a big deal. It really is because you know making sure that you stay in peace and go within your own heart and not overstep, not you know, yeah, so it's true. Like if somebody is some people just like to, you know, if that's the reality that they want to create for themselves, who am I to come in and overstep? Like, if you like living that way, or you like being starving, or you like, I mean, maybe they just like the attention. They like to say, I don't have any, you know, this, or I don't really know. I mean, locally, I mean, because I pay for people in the grocery store. I do random stuff all the time, but I never want anybody to know about it. So it's just, I've kind of scaled back to just doing small acts of kindness wherever I go,
Hey,
on a smaller scale,
Arrow
you
and
know?
Birdie, we have gotten the 5-minute mark.
Oh my
Oh,
gosh,
wow.
that flew by.
Wow. Yeah. Well, this is great. Usually I'm all desperate to come up with enough information by myself. This is
Well, you got a chatty
wonderful.
birdie with you. Come on now.
Oh, this is awesome, girls. This has been so much fun. And I really think I'm going to really try to be involved in this particular project. I want to meet people. I want to meet people in person. And maybe someday somebody will be passionate about maybe putting, I know the original project Sheila had us meeting in person, but then you also had something about maybe we have an online thing. Like maybe if we had a big, huge event, somebody would volunteer to come and record it, or maybe even put it on live air. It's just not my passion to be on the online any more than I need to be. I prefer the in person. So I look forward to exploring this. Maybe this platform will bring people who are trying to do things in their local communities, maybe they'll come to this platform to talk about the challenges we're having at out in our local communities, and we can just come together and talk about the different things we're trying to do.
Yeah, I'd
I'm
like.
going to the show page is going to change. But we are going to leave the emails on there. I'm encouraging everybody to contact us with either questions, concerns, passions, any projects, people who are excited, like I know Birdies is like, I just want to help people. I think there's a world of us out there that just want to help people. And I would like to hear from you if you're passionate about helping other people. What skills are you bringing? What kind of roles would you like to come forward and play with? And any I so I'm gonna just give Sheila a minute or two and Birdie a minute or two. Is there any further conclusions?
Go ahead, Sheila. It's all you.
Okay, I just wanted to share that somewhere along the line in my process of sending in projects, I realized my only true project is me and working on what I bring to the table. What joy am I operating in? Birdie, what about you?
Well, yeah, I don't know anymore. Not a
You're
lot, right? I don't want to like take up too much of the show time either, but yeah, I think I'm happy to help any way I can, and I love collaborating with you, and thanks for having me on the show, Arrow.
Oh, thank you. I can't wait till I get a hug. I know. I think Sheila's really close to me physically. I think she's going to be my next hug.
Awesome.
Oh, thank you. This is a project review with Q and Arrow. It is going to be every other Sunday, noon central. And then the sister show is a St. Thomas show on the other noon at Central's. And the St. Thomas show is just bringing light to the deceptions in our book. I'm a Jesus lover, and the book has divine holy writings, but we want to shine the light on some of the deceptions that have been put in there to confuse us. So this is a great day. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Love, love,
Thanks,
love.
BBS.
Thank you, BBS.